Good morning. It's a pleasure and a joy to be with you. I've heard about Westview. I've never been here, and it's great to be here and to look into God's Word together. I enjoyed the songs that we sang this morning very much. They spoke about God's kindness to us and 10,000 reasons to give thanks to the Lord. And this morning I want to look at a woman who was shown tremendous kindness by God. I really want to look at her faith and see what she had to go through and to see where she was called from. But in it all, God's kindness is seen. And this woman didn't start off well. In fact, she probably couldn't have started off any worse. And yet, at the end of the story, she is in an incredible place. And we will see that. She leaves us a legacy of what it means to live by faith and what it means to be a believer and a follower of God and what we have been called from and called to. Her name is Rahab. And almost every time she is mentioned in the Bible, it adds this, Rahab, the prostitute. That was her background. That was who she was before she met God. You know, I like the fact that the Bible doesn't hide things from us. Right? The Bible is very real of what we are like. All the faults of people are there for us to see. Because all of us, men, women, and kids, we're all the same, right? We all struggle with the same things. We all fail in the same areas. So she started off really low, as I mentioned. But God brought her to a tremendous place at the end. You know, God reaches out to us not because we are good, right? But because He is a good God. Because He's a gracious and a kind God in abundance, giving us far more than what we deserve. Rahab, it seems, never lost her background. She is mentioned several times in the New Testament. And it seems every time she is mentioned, it always adds Rahab, the prostitute. She's mentioned in the book of Hebrews, only one of two women who were mentioned in that hall of fame of faith, people who are recognized for the fact they believe God. And writer to Hebrews says, Rahab, the prostitute. She's mentioned in James's letter. She's mentioned, really, the only other person she's mentioned with is Abraham. It's pretty important company, right? And she's also called there Rahab, the prostitute. When Joshua comes across her, and Jericho is destroyed, without jumping too far ahead of the story, and he says to the spies, you go in and get the prostitute. That's how she was known. She's mentioned one other time, though, in the New Testament. That's the very first chapter of Matthew. And that's the only time it doesn't add the prostitute. Matthew records Jesus' family tree. And she is part of Jesus' family tree. You think of where she was and what she was brought into. Incredible blessings. And when Matthew records it there, he does not say Rahab the prostitute. I wondered why. And I guess the reality is there were a lot of bad characters in Jesus' family tree. A lot of sinners, a lot of things that could have been added. And Rahab was no different. And all those men and women were brought into a wonderful position, in a lineage. And she's brought in there too. At that point, who cares what her past is? She's part of God's family. And that's all that matters. And I found that interesting. You know, everywhere else, as you talk about people and her faith, it's the prostitute. But in Jesus' family tree, it's simply Rahab. She is recognized and noted. So we can be encouraged, right? Doesn't matter our background. Doesn't matter where we start from. God, in His grace and His kindness, can bring us into incredible places, incredible forgiveness, and incredible hope and a future. So let's read the story of Rahab. I want to read in two portions. The first being I want to read Joshua chapter 2 and then over to Joshua chapter 6 and a few verses. And I am reading this morning from the English Standard Version. So Joshua chapter 2 and beginning at verse 1 and we'll read the whole chapter together. It gives us the story, the account of Rahab. Joshua, the son of Nun, sent two men secretly from Shittim as spies, saying, "Go view the land, especially Jericho." And they went and came into the house of a prostitute whose name was Rahab and lodged there. And it was told to the king of Jericho, "Behold, men of Israel have come here tonight to search out the land." And then the king of Jericho sent to Rahab, saying, "Bring out the men who have come to you, who entered your house, for they have come to search out all the land." But the woman had taken the two men and hidden them. And she said, "True, the men came to me, but I did not know where they were from. And when the gate was about to be closed at dark, the men went out. I do not know where the men went. Pursue them quickly, for you will overtake them." But she had brought them to the roof and hid them with the stalks of flax that she had laid in order on the roof. So the men pursued after them on the way to the Jordan as far as the fords. And the gate was shut as soon as the pursuers had gone out. But before the men had laid down, she came up to them on the roof. And she said to the men, "I know that the Lord has given you the land, and that the fear of you has fallen upon us, and that all the inhabitants of the land melt away before you. For we have heard how the Lord has dried up the water of the Red Sea before you when you came up out of Egypt, and what you did to the two kings of the Amorites who were beyond the Jordan, to Sihon and Og, whom you devoted to destruction. And as soon as we heard it, our hearts melted, and there was no spirit left in any man because of you. For the Lord your God, he is God in heaven above and on earth beneath. Now then, please swear to me by the Lord, as I have dealt kindly with you, you also will deal kindly with my father's house. And give me a sure sign that you will save alive my father and mother and brothers and sisters and all who belong to them, and deliver our lives from death." And the men said to her, "Our life for yours, even to death. If you do not tell this business of ours, then when the Lord gives us the land, we will deal kindly and faithfully with you." Then she let them down by a rope through the window, for her house was built upon the city wall, so that she lived in the wall. And she said to them, "Go to the hills, or the pursuers will encounter you, and hide there 3 days until the pursuers have returned. Then afterwards you may go your way." And the men said to her, "We will be guiltless with respect to this oath of yours that you have made us swear. Behold, when we come into the land, you shall tie this scarlet cord in the window through which you let us down. And you shall gather into your house your father and mother, your brothers, and all your father's household. And if anyone goes out of the doors of your house into the street, his blood will be on his head, and we will be guiltless. But if a hand is laid on anyone who is with you in the house, his blood shall come on our head. And if you tell this business of ours, then we shall be guiltless with respect to your oath that you have made us swear." And she said, "According to your words, so be it." Then she sent them away, and they departed. And she tied the scarlet cord to the window. And then let's go over now to chapter 6. And verse 22. Jericho is now being destroyed. And Joshua says in verse 22, "But to the two men who had spied out the land, Joshua says, 'Go into the prostitute's house, and bring out from there the woman and all who belong to her, as you swore to her.' So the young men who had been spies went in and brought out Rahab and her father and her mother and brothers and all who belonged to her. And they brought all her relatives and put them outside the camp of Israel. And they burned the city with fire and everything in it. Only the gold and silver and gold and the vessels of bronze and irons they put into the treasury of the house of the Lord. But Rahab the prostitute and her father's household and all who belonged to her, Joshua saved alive. And she has lived in Israel to this day because she hid the messengers whom Joshua sent to spy out Jericho." That's the story of Rahab. As it begins, we come across these spies coming into Jericho. And I guess the first question I have is, what were the spies doing in a prostitute's house? Where would you go if you were two men sent into spy out a land? You'd want to go to a place, right, that nobody would be suspicious. People coming and going, nobody would pay attention to. In fact, you know, probably a place that people may stay away from a little bit. I believe these men had tremendous character from what we'll see later on. They came there with the purest of motives. They had faith in God. I think they went to this place simply because it was a place they can go and they could hide, and nobody would notice. Where else were you going to go? There weren't hotels or anything, right? You weren't going to call on somebody house just to stay in a room. You went to a place where you could just come in, find a place, and hide. You know, ultimately, God brought them there. And God brought these two men to meet a woman who was ready to respond. You find out a lot about Rahab by what she tells the men before she goes and hides them on the roof. She tells them, you know, that even though I've never seen God, she had probably never even seen an Israelite. She says, I've heard. I've heard what God has done, what your God did, the Red Sea. I heard what your God did to some powerful and kings and nations around. You know, others had heard as well, right? When you read that, it says, we have heard what your God has done. We have heard, he says, and great fear and trembling is upon the hearts of all of us. Many had heard, right? But only she responded. She was ready in a moment, just because of hearing what God had done, to change her life forever. Others had heard about God, but they had not responded. She hears, and her whole world changes. Jericho, we read in history, was an ancient city. Had huge walls. It had been around for a long time. And here was a group of people. It was just, they were a baby nation. They had no experience in battle. And I have to imagine if you were one of the citizens of Jericho, and here comes Israel, people just to shut the door. They're not going to get in. We've been around for a long time. We've got nothing to fear about. But Rahab was different. Others may look to the walls and to their history and to their past. But Rahab heard, had been affected by what she heard, and was immediately about to switch sides and betray her own people, because she knew and she had tremendous faith in the power of this God. You know, Abraham believed and he left his homeland, went to a place he had never heard and seen. Noah had tremendous faith, and he built an ark even when the weather forecast was against it. Even when everyone else was saying he was crazy, right? Rahab looks out and sees the powerful walls, but she's heard about his powerful God. And she changes her sides, right? She changes and leaves everything that she knows to follow after someone she has only heard about. I want you to notice who else had tremendous faith here. The spies. You read what they say to Rahab. It says, when the Lord gives us the city. It's not if the Lord gives us the city, but when the Lord gives us the city. They also were showing tremendous faith and responding to God. You know, as Christians, we live by faith. We don't rely upon faith simply just to enter into God's family. We don't rely upon faith just to come into relationship with the living God. But each of us needs to live by faith. To have confidence in God. As Peter 1 and 18 says, we who having not seen, yet we believe. That is how we are to live by faith. God is so kind, He encourages us in our faith. He nurtures us and nurtures our faith. There is an account told one time in Judges chapter 7 about a leader of Israel named Gideon. And he had been called by God to free his people from the Midianites. He maybe wasn't that strong of a personality, and he was wondering if God really had called him and if God really would do what he said. And God told Gideon, you know, one night I want you to sneak down to the camp of the Midianites. I want you to sneak up in the dark and to listen to what they're saying. And Gideon takes one person with him and they sneak up. And you know what they hear? They hear two soldiers talking about a dream they had. And the dream is about Gideon. And one soldier, after he hears what this man, his fellow soldier, has a dream about, he says, you know what that is? That's the sword of Gideon. He's coming to defeat us. Imagine being Gideon. You're wondering if God will hear and will use you to lead his people in victory. And you sneak through the dark, you're lying there in the sand and the grass, and you hear your name. God did that to encourage Gideon in his faith. And I think God does the same thing here with these spies. They come in, and they come to this house, and they meet this woman who says, I've heard about your God, and I want to join your side. We're all fearful of what he is doing, and I want to follow after him. Just think of what that would have done to the heart of those two spies. And going back and telling Joshua, the people are fearful of us. God is going to give us this land. God knows what we are like. And yes, we need to live by faith and hold on to what God says and what God's word says. But God at the same time encourages us. He encourages us by things that he has done in the past. I think that's why, as Psalms tells us, one generation is to declare your works to another. One of the greatest things we can do is speak to our children, to those coming after us, what God has done in our lives. Yes, those who have come before us, but our lives, to encourage each other as we grow in faith. So here is this woman. She's come across these two men from a nation she has never seen before. And immediately Rahab switches sides. Do you know what that we call that today? That's treason. That's what she did though, right? One moment she is a servant and follows the king of Jericho. The next moment she's lying to the king of Jericho because she has made her allegiance to God. She takes the spies in and she hides them, already acting against her king. In a moment she puts it all on the line, right? In a moment she switches from allegiance to Jericho to allegiance to following after God. That's really what's happened in our lives as Christians, right? In one moment, we are part of the kingdom of darkness, part of the kingdom of this world. And in one moment, God takes and he transfers us from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of his Son, into the kingdom of light. I think that's one of the reasons why many in the world will hate us. Not just because of what we stand for, but because we have turned our back on all that, you know, is valuable and important to those around us. From our social spheres, everything has changed. Right? And yes, we still care for those around us, but the reality is we have switched sides. In the eyes of the world, we have committed treason. No wonder we can be hated so much, right? That is, Rahab, in a sense, shows us in a physical way what has happened to us spiritually. We have switched sides. We've gone from following the world and having all those things hold on to us and important to us to following after God. And yet we still care for the world, right? We care for those in our family, those that we work with in our neighborhood. You know, think about Rahab. How quickly things happen. In a moment, she switches sides. And the first thing she says is, what about my mother, my father, my brothers, my sisters, all my relatives? There is tremendous care that she has for all that We're part of her family. But faith is more than simply just believing, right? Faith must involve action. Faith must involve works. And we see that with Rahab as well, right? We know that her faith was real by what she did, right? She hid the spies. And sometimes we look and we say, well, with a new Christian, let's just wait, let them kind of get into things a little bit before we ask them to start really living the life. Not with Rahab. In a moment, she goes from following the king to hiding the spies. She showed her faith was real by her works right away. And it seems in the New Testament, she is noted for this. She's in Hebrews 11, as I said. Rahab, by faith, hid the spies. And James, when speaking about the great people of faith, talks about Abraham and then talks about Rahab, who hid the spies. She risked everything. She may not have known all about God's commands, but she was willing to step out and risk everything. We come across difficult things in the Bible. For example, she lies, right? The king sends his servants to the front door. They knock, send out the spies. Oh, they aren't here. They were, but they've left. And the question is it okay to lie? Is it okay to lie, even if there's good motives? The Bible tells us it's never okay to lie. Lying is sin. She was doing all that she could, and with what she understood and her background, to follow after God and what He had called her to. And God can take anything and use it for His good. And God took a lie and used it to protect the people there, protect those two servants there. You know, God can take so many things and use it for His good. God took Joseph's brothers, even Joseph said, right? You meant it evil for me. You were going to do me harm, but God meant it for good. So let's don't get caught up too much in Rahab's lying and is it good or bad. Realize what she did with what she understood. She was going to do anything she could to protect those spies because in a moment she had switched sides. Rahab showed her faith by exposing herself to others. Now, you're Rahab. You have switched sides. Literally, it means death to you if you found out. Now, if you were Rahab, what would you do? Would you simply just quietly hang the scarlet thread outside and just go about your business quietly and say anything? Rahab talked to her family. All it took was one of them to turn her in. And we know by the end that all her family is there. From her father and mother to her brothers and sisters to all her relatives. She talked to a lot of people. And she exposed herself. Imagine being the very first time, Mom, Dad, I betrayed my city. I hid spies. They told me what to do and where I need to be in order that we will not be destroyed as a family. Will you come and stay in my house? She's opening up herself. As I said, only took one to turn her into the king. Because once she shared the information and they responded, they also were guilty of treason. They also understood, and they were not turning her in, but they were following after her. All of a sudden, she goes from being one person following after this, the true God, to all her family being there. They all were risking everything. And faith does that, right? I see that as a challenge to myself, you know, in where you work and in your circle of friends and in your neighborhood. Sometimes we're afraid to share our faith because of what people will think. And you see this faith in this woman and how young she was in this faith. And yet she is responding. She's hiding the spies. She's speaking to her own family. She showed incredible faith and belief that this God was real, was true. And I'm willing to give everything up to follow after Him. But her faith was also challenged. Most of us, I think, know the story of how Joshua and the Israelites defeated Jericho. How God, later on in this book, Joshua tells them how to do it. How for 6 days they're taken to march all the way around Jericho. Come back. Next day, march all the way around and come back for 6 days. Then on day seven, they're to march around seven times. Stand around Jericho and the walls will fall down flat. Why did God do it that way? I think a couple things are happening. I think God had lessons to teach the Israelites, but I think there was a lesson to teach Rahab as well. Now, just use your imagination for a minute. You're Rahab, you're sitting in your house. You don't know all this happened. The spies had no idea how Jericho was going to be conquered. That comes later on. And all of a sudden, she sits there, looks out the window, and here comes the column of Israelites marching towards the city. Ah! They're coming! My city's going to be destroyed! She runs out, she gets all of her family, gathers them all to her house. They all cram in there, and they're watching Israel march around, and they leave. And you're her family, and you say to Rahab, I thought you said Jericho was going to be destroyed. Did you really meet with the spies? I wonder what they actually thought of Rahab. After all, was she the black sheep of the family? You know, did they all approve of her career? We don't know. These are things we don't know. Maybe she was someone they weren't sure they could trust. Who knows? But everybody in the family comes, Israelites march around, and they leave. And you're scratching your head. Day two comes. Rahab sees them coming. Come back, come back, come to my house. When you get to day seven, I wonder how fast they came to the house. Right? How fast would you come if your daughter or your sister has told you, come, 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 we're about to be destroyed? How fast would you come? I think it's a mark of her faith, of her ability to express her faith to her family, that they're all there on day seven. Right? To come back again and again, you don't know what the plan is. You don't know how long it's going to go on for. All you know is, I've heard about God. The spies have told me to be here. Let's come. You know, God could have done things differently. He could have given her a vision. He could have said to her, listen, I'm going to march around the city for 6 days. Seventh day, we're going to march around. Just bring them all on day seven. God could have done that. God could have told the spies ahead of time, and they could have passed that information on. But he didn't. A young Christian, a young believer in God, is challenged in her faith. And she's still there at the end. Still believing. You know, God wants our faith to grow. And how does faith grow? But by being challenged, right? Faith will not grow if there is no challenge. And that's the way it is in our lives, right? God has given to us promises. God has given to us things that he wants to do. You know, sometimes they don't turn out as well as we want. Sometimes we pray and the answer isn't there right away. Sometimes it delays a long time in coming. And may even delay after until we're gone. But God's promises are real and they are true. Amen. Right? And he does these things not because he wants to give to us tremendous punishment, but he wants our faith to grow. He wants to challenge us, as Peter says in 1 Peter, that our faith, which is more precious than gold, when it is refined, he wants our faith to grow. And life will be difficult and tough. And sometimes we'll wonder why God doesn't step in and why things happen the way they are, just like Rahab. And though he does delay at times, it is for our faith to grow. And to recognize that he is able to do above and beyond what we could even imagine. And he will show himself. Rahab showed tremendous faith in being there to the end. And I think somewhere, doesn't say in scripture, but I believe in that process, Rahab had to use what she had heard about. The faith that she had to encourage her family. to encourage your family to stay there all the way to the end. And I think that shows to us in our lives. You know, sometimes in our assemblies, in our homes, we come across those who are discouraged. And just how much our faith and expressing our faith and encouraging others with the faith in God and to hold on, we'll see them all the way to the end. Right? Because sometimes it is hard and you want to get out of that room. You don't want to be there. You don't understand what's happening. And it takes just that one person to encourage you to stay there all the way until God acts. I believe that's what Rahab did. The end of the story, where is Rahab? She's with her family. The city is burning behind her, right? But she is alive and she is saved. I think in a very real way, Rahab's life was changed forever, instantly. She meets these spies. I don't know how many weeks could have transpired between her first meeting the spies and her family standing outside Jericho, its walls destroyed, city burning. It's just her family and a brand new nation. Her family and a group of people who speak a different language, who worship a different God. Her career is instantly changed. Who she worships, instantly changed. And it's very real. There was no going back. She couldn't go back. Her neighbors, her king, all the people that she had worked with, all gone. Only her, her family, in a brand new place. She had left her past completely behind. Understand, that's what happens with us, right? Our past is to be left behind. Right? There is no going back. Lack of a better word, it's scorched earth behind us. There is no going back. And that's what happens when we come to Christ. We are to die to our old self. There is new life and we are born again. She left it all behind. And that's what happens when we are saved. And God honored her. God honored her in an incredible way. As I mentioned, Matthew chapter 1 records that she was brought into the family tree of Jesus. And we read some of the people who were involved in this family tree. I'll just read it, Matthew 1 verses 4 and 5, right? There are some men who are mentioned. Four generations I just want to look at. One starts off with Aminadab, who had a son named Nashon, who had a son named Salmon, or Salmon. That was the man who married Rahab. And together they had a son named Boaz. Have you ever wondered who these men were? And to think of what this man, Salmon, did. He went and he married a woman who was not an Israelite. No doubt he knew her past. He married a woman who was a prostitute. What kind of man was he to do that? He changed Jesus' family tree. He changed things. He did something that probably most Israelites would not have done. I think in today, if you came across a woman like that, depending on who you were, that would be a difficult thing, right? We read about this group of men in Numbers chapter 7. Don't turn there, just listen. Numbers chapter 7, Moses has given the instruction and they have finished building the tabernacle where they're to worship God. And it says at the beginning of chapter 7 of Numbers that each of the chiefs of the tribes, each of the rulers, the leaders of all the 12 tribes of Israel, they all came and they brought gifts to Moses and for the tabernacle. They each brought an oxen. Between two of the chiefs, they brought a wagon full of goods, from flour to silver to incense for the tabernacle. They brought incredible things, and the weights are given. And then as it begins, and it lists what each of these chiefs brought, It starts off and says, and the chief of Judah. His name was Nashon, the son of Amminadab. And all of a sudden you begin to put the pieces together and you realize, do you know who Salmon's father was? He was the chief. He was the ruler of Judah. What does that make Salmon? A prince. God in his kindness didn't just take Rahab and bring her into some, lack of a better word, Joshmo in Israel. He took and he brought this woman who had shown tremendous faith. And all that passed, he brought her right to the top of the line. She marries the prince of Judah. And they have a son, right, named Boaz. And you remember in the story of Ruth? Where do you find Boaz at times? He's in the city gate. Why? Because he's one of the rulers. I think in a way also this probably made it easier for Boaz to marry Ruth the Moabitess. Why? Because his mother was from Jericho. And how God works. And he took this woman with a tremendous past. You couldn't imagine probably something any worse. And he takes and brings her right to the top of the line. And not only is she part of Jesus' family tree, but while she is living, she is part of royalty. You think of what God has done in our lives, right? He has taken you and me, people who are sinners, people who don't deserve anything that he could give. That's why we've got 10,000 reasons to give thanks to the Lord, right? He has taken us, the Bible said he has brought us into his family. We're part of the family of kings. We're going to rule and reign with him. All the things that he has brought us into because we respond in faith. Because we have come to him. God did tremendous things for Rahab. He will do tremendous things for us. And that is God's grace, taking people who don't deserve anything and giving to us absolutely everything. God can do so much. And I guess I use the word can in this present life because not every one of us life is easy, right? Not every one of us, the road is smooth. The road wasn't always smooth for Rahab. There were challenges to her faith, but she responded. And she's recognized for tremendous faith, and God honored that ultimately at the end. You know, our task more than anything is simply to believe in the words of God. We may not see all the things happening the way they should. We may not understand why God delays. We may have to risk at times and expose ourselves. But we are to be people who live by faith. People who respond to God's word. And in this we are to expect hostilities. We've changed sides. Misunderstandings. People won't understand why when they look at the walls around and or today looking at how things just continue on as they always have. And they'll say, where is God's promises? But he is coming. He is returning one day. So let us look to this woman, Rahab. Let us be encouraged in her faith. Let us see the struggles that she had and recognize they will be our struggles too. But we are to grow. And let us give thanks to God for what he brought her from and to, and he's done the same for us. And if you do not know the Lord, if you are not walking with him, he is able to do these things to all of us. Doesn't matter our past, doesn't matter what we have done. He can take us and he can bring us into the family of the King. Let's pray. Father, we thank you this morning for leaving us this record of Rahab. And all the things that she went through and the lessons that we can learn, we thank you. Father, help us to live our life in faith. Father, we do not see everything the way it should be. But Father, we know what your word says and we hold on to it. And help us as we are challenged not to give up, not to, in today's story's term, to leave that room, but to be there, to hold on to you. And to see you work in your time. So Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for your kindness and your grace to us. We praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.